Man, let's take our Bibles out, congregation, turning this morning to Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. Mark, chapter 12. If you've been frequenting our services, you know that we have been going through an exposition of this Gospel, and we have found our place here in verse 38 of Mark chapter 12 in this teaching of the Lord Jesus in the situation just before His cross. Let's begin by reading the text. We'll be looking this morning beginning in verse 38 down through verse 40, this very short paragraph in this record of our Lord's ministry. Verse 38, it says, "And in His teaching He said, 'Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes, and like greetings in the marketplaces, and have the best seats in the synagogues, and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation.'" Let's now join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before You now as we open Your Word. We ask, Lord, that You would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive and believe and obey what You have commanded. Father, we confess to You that apart from the ministry of Your Spirit, the Word of God falls on deaf ears. And we need that work of illumination and application that only He can provide. And Father, we acknowledge our duty, our giving ourselves wholly, sincerely, humbly to Your Word, and receiving it as sufficient, inerrant, and authoritative. Pray, God, that You would indeed, in this place, work a great work of increased faith in our hearts, and that we would seek to serve the Lord even more faithfully. And Lord, it is our prayer that You would draw those apart from Jesus Christ to a saving awareness of Him, that they might come to see their need for Jesus and embrace Him savingly. This, Father, all for Your glory and all for Your honor, as we ask this in Christ's holy name, amen. As we continue in our exposition here of Mark chapter 12, you're aware that the events of Mark chapter 12 are a record of that Tuesday of Passion Week. Jesus entered Jerusalem on Sunday in the triumphal entry. We have the record of His cleansing the temple, of His withering the fig tree. We have a record of these various questions the questioners posed to Jesus about His authority, about what is the greatest commandment, about paying taxes to Caesar. Various questions seeking to entrap, seeking to somehow take some sort of angle against Jesus and have something against Him to discredit Him. Jesus responded to those questions, and then He asked the questioners a question as well. The question we looked at actually last Lord's Day morning was the question about His own identity. Quoting from the Old Testament prophecy, speaking of the Messiah, the Son of David, He indeed shows in that prophecy that He was both Son of David and David's Lord. The Messiah, Son of God, Son of Man in one person. As we come here to this short paragraph in verses 38 through 40, we have again another statement of that growing hostility between Jesus and the religious community. Here Jesus is issuing forth a denunciation, a condemnation for the hypocrisy of the religious community. Now, in this particular denunciation, we are told here He speaks of the scribes in verse 38. But certainly these words apply to the Pharisees in general, the Sadducees, certainly all of that religious community that had been united in their opposition to the Lord Jesus. This morning, let's look at this brief paragraph by giving, first of all, a brief exposition and then a few lines of principled application. First of all, note with me in verse 38, the admonition that the Lord gives. The admonition. It says, "And in His teaching He said, beware of the scribes." Now remember the context. Jesus is still at the temple. He's been answering these questions. He's been teaching. He's been instructing. In fact, we read in verse 37 last week that there was this great throng that heard Him gladly, that is, intently, with enthusiasm and with a keen awareness of the profound things that He was saying and teaching, perhaps even more aware of what He was saying than the religious leaders who did not see Him for who He truly was. And as He continued to teach, He issued forth this admonition. He says, beware of the scribes. The very word there, blepo, in the Greek New Testament, it is a durative present. And that word there, beware, could be translated as continue to watch out for, or be on your guard constantly against them. He says, this is something that you need to remember. Those of you who are My followers, those of you who have come to an appreciation of My identity and My teaching, you need to be on guard constantly for these scribes, as He denotes them. These religious leaders who were hypocrites, these religious pretenders who were more concerned about their position and their place, more concerned about their power and their prestige, more concerned about keeping their own authority and not having it challenged by either the Word of God specifically or incarnately the Word of God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And Jesus says concerning these people, beware of them. Constantly be watching out for them. Keep your guard constantly up around them for who they are, for what they are, and for what they desire to do. So we see here this admonition. Secondly, if you'll notice in verses 38 through 40, Jesus shares something of their description. He gives the reasons why they were to be watchful and on guard against the religious people called the scribes. Listing several evil traits, He says, they are those who love or who like to walk around in long robes and light greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Here Jesus gives several different traits or evil characteristics of these scribes, the reason why they needed to be watchful constantly around them. First of all, He says, consider their public parading of religion. He says, they like to walk around in long robes. What is the idea of this, walking around in long robes? Well, obviously, the religious community would have been dressed with the accoutrements and the accompaniments of religion. There was specific laws that were outlined as to how they were to dress and what they were to have as their attire. The key to understanding what Jesus is saying is the phrase, those who like to walk around in long robes. They like, indeed they love, they cherish, and it is their greatest zeal and enthusiasm to walk around with these various accoutrements and accompaniments of their religious position. They love to put on airs, as one commentator has said it. They love to have this appearance of being devout and being important. A congregation, we can think even in our own experience today of various religions that have all kinds of very elaborate costumes of piety that they parade around in, can't we? Without mentioning various religions and various sects and various teachings, we can think in our mind's eye about folks who love to wear these extravagant garments and robes and all these jewels and all these various sashes and helmets and hats and various accoutrements to look religious in the eyes of other people. And it's almost the most gaudy display of incredible wealth that one could even imagine. You've seen, you know what I'm talking about. Well, this is something of the kind of heart that was in these false teachers. It wasn't just that they wore religious garb. It was that they loved to appear before others as being devout, important, prestigious, of a place to be revered in their position and station in life. Jesus says, beware of these kind of people who have this in their heart, that this is what really they desire to have and hold. Secondly, not only their public parading of religion, but notice their passion for recognition. He says, not only do they like to walk around in long robes, but it says they like greetings in the marketplaces. What exactly is Jesus saying by that? Well, this idea of greeting was the idea of a public demonstration by those in the crowd of their place, of their authority, of a recognition of their status, and of a reverencing of them because of their position. It was kind of a public recognition of respect to them personally. They loved to be called rabbi, teacher. They loved to be called scribe. They loved to be called experts in the law. And they loved the various prestigious accomplishments accompanying those particular places and titles of recognition. Now, the question we might ask ourselves here is, the question, very simply put, is Jesus condemning addressing people with respect? Is that what Jesus is saying? Is Jesus saying you should not address people with respect? Or you should not acknowledge titles appropriately attained? No, obviously Jesus is not saying anything of a sort. We are to show proper respect. We are to show proper recognition. We should be offended in the kind of culture in which we live, so dumbed down and so casual, where people that ought to be shown respect are not shown respect. I mean, can you imagine going to the White House and seeing the president and saying, "Hey, Obama, how's it going?" But you know, that's kind of the culture we live in today, isn't it? And that's not what Jesus is talking about at all. Now, Jesus is talking about this heart passion that these religious people had where they wanted that public recognition. They longed for it. They strutted around in their religious attire. And they were looking for those words of respect coming from others. And I'm sure they were often offended if they did not get the kind of respect and recognition they thought they should receive from others whom they encountered. So we see here their passion for recognition. Secondly, we see their public parading of religion. Notice thirdly, the place that they love to attain to. Notice as it says here, verse 39, and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts. This is the place that they desired and they attained to. Says they wanted their place in the synagogues to be the best seats. Now, what exactly are the best seats at the synagogue? Well, you know, if you were to visit a Baptist church, you would think the best seats are the back seats. You know, in most Baptist churches, that's the best seats. And if you get there late, you've got to sit up front. But in the synagogue, it was a very different thing. In the synagogue, the best seats were the seats up front next to the chest that held the sacred scrolls. And that was reserved for dignitaries, for people of importance, for people of great recognition, those that they wanted to honor. This is where the scribes insisted that they have their place in the synagogue. When they came to hear the teaching of the Word of God, these experts, so called in the law, wanted to be sitting right next to the scrolls of the law and seen in their capacity of great importance. And so we see their place as it resulted in their desire to be in the best seats in the synagogues. Notice in verse 39, secondly, it says concerning the feasts, places of honor at feasts. Now, what exactly is the idea of the feast? Well, the feast here would refer to any sort of banquet of special occasion. It would be whether it was at a wedding feast or some other special occasion where there was a gathering of people, a public gathering for a meal. This was a place that they desired to have, as Jesus says, places of honor. Now, that would have been, according to tradition, seated next to the host of the feast. The host would be flipping the bill, as it were, for the great event, and they wanted to be sitting next to that host, the place of greatest honor for them to be in. This exactly is what Jesus actually speaks to. If you'll turn over in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, turn to Luke 14. This very thing Jesus speaks to by way of warning in this parable of the wedding feast. Luke 14. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 7. Read down through verse 11. It says, "Now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor," the very thing Jesus is talking about, "saying to them, 'When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. He who invited you both will come and say to you, "Give your place to this person." And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For," and here's the issue, "everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Jesus here, of course, is condemning the practice of the scribes. They were going to the wedding feast. Jesus observed that they wanted to sit in the most prestigious places of honor there next to the host. And Jesus says, this is not what you are to do. There is not to be this desire in pride to be in this exalted position in a public display of your own self-awareness of importance. Now, this very idea, if you'll turn back to James chapter 2, is addressed as it relates to the life of the early church. You see, in the life of the early church, there was this susceptibility to fall into the same problems of religion that had plagued the religious leaders of Jesus' day. That is, places of partiality and pride and recognition. And so James, the half-brother of our Lord, as he writes in James chapter 2, speaks to the issue of showing partiality. And in this instance, the example is based upon outward appearance, the appearance of affluence. Notice what he says in verse number 1. He says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit down at my feet,' Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which He has promised to those who love Him? But you have dishonored the poor man, and are not the rich the ones who oppress you, the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called? Here is this teaching for those believers in the early church. They're the church of Jerusalem. This issue of showing partiality, of having a good place within the assembly, or a place of lesser recognition or prominence, of standing over there versus sitting in this good place or sitting at our feet. And the idea is that in this practice, they were in a very real sense denying the reality of who they were in Christ. And they were becoming wicked judges with evil thoughts in this idea. But here, even in the early church, there was this idea of places that were good and places that were of less importance. And so James has to write speaking to the issue of partiality in the early church. Now, turning back, if you will, to Mark's gospel, we see here that this is the very thing, if a scribe had showed up there, they would have wanted that good place. They would have wanted the best place, whether it was the synagogue or whether it was the banquet or the feast. They wanted a place of great respect and recognition. Notice, if you will, in verse 40, Jesus shares another characteristic, another evil trait they had, and that is their pilfering of widows. It says, who devour widows' houses. What an interesting statement that is. They devour widows' houses. What exactly is the meaning Jesus is getting at? Commentators are divided, and there's much discussion as to the exact meaning of this idea. Some have pointed out that the scribes were not paid professionally for their trade, and so that which was their sustenance was the generosity of others who gave them liberally so that they could be sustained in their work in the scribal tradition. We're not exactly sure what it was, but we do know the heart issue that Jesus was speaking against. Jesus was saying that their problem was exploiting the generosity of other people. And not only extorting the generosity of other people, but those who were of the most difficult circumstances, widows. Houses. In other words, they not only preyed on other people, but they preyed on people who were the least able to help them in their desire for their things. They unethically appropriated their property. They sought ways to exploit their generosity. They sought ways to get things from them. That was their desire. They were wicked. They were evil. Congregation, I wish it could be said that this kind of wicked use of other people was killed in the first century. But there are, I am sad to say, in the ministry, many who practice a form of relationships that's always getting stuff from other people, promoting it, encouraging it, acting in various strategically informed ways to get from others and exploit the generosity of others, even to the point of exploiting widows with great gain. In congregation, that is wickedness when ministers are out to get something from people rather than minister the Word of God. This was the very sin of these people called the scribes. They devoured widows' houses. They were quick to exploit every avenue to get stuff from others, their service, their time, their recognition, their physical property. And they were always doing this to their own personal gain. Jesus says this is why you should be aware of them. You should be constantly on guard against them. This is not consistent with what God desires. Pilfering widows' houses. And then notice, if you will, in verse 40, there is a final thing Jesus says about them. That is their pretense in their praying. Their pretense in their praying. It says, and for a pretense make long prayers. They were not praying for the sake of having an audience with their Maker, their Creator. No, they were praying, and it was as a public display of their own religiosity to other people. They wanted folks to say of them, what a pious prayer they prayed. Oh, what a beautiful word they shared. Oh, how wonderful was the devout things they spoke in the prayer they offered up to God. That was what their heart was about. They wanted that recognition. They wanted in their pride and hypocrisy that gathering and that following of folks to be behind them and say, oh, how religious and godly they truly are. That's what they were all about. This was a description that Jesus gave. We note their admonition. Jesus says, beware of them. We note their description. Notice finally in verse 40, their condemnation. Their condemnation. Jesus says, they will receive the greater condemnation. Oh, they may receive all kinds of praise in this life. Oh, they may be lauded as the most godly and pious. They may be able to pilfer from others all kinds of property and services, and they may be seen as being very religious. But in fact, there's a coming day of accountability. When all of the sham and the pretense and the play acting and all of the parading around of being religious and devout will come into conflict with Christ, who is judge, and they will be judged for their deeds. They will receive, not they might receive, they will receive the greater condemnation. Congregation, these are very strong words Jesus shares, aren't they? And they are words that are inscripturated not merely for us to look at and say, what a curious thing went on in the first century. But thank God it hasn't happened in the last 2,000 years. No, these words of the Lord Jesus are inscripturated. They are given to us as an abiding record for us this very day. That we would beware of this same kind of hypocrisy in religion. Let me share with you some principles from this passage as we conclude this morning. Number one, I'm just going to share a number of things. You may want to jot them down. Number one, Jesus' statements here in this passage is a warning against sinful ambition to be honored and prominent in religion. It is a warning against sinful ambition to be honored and prominent in religion. Turn with me, if you will, in this very gospel, just a few pages back to chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and beginning with verse 42, Jesus here gives very clearly by way of instruction and certainly by way of personal demonstration how those who truly are great in His kingdom are to be in reality. Mark chapter 10 and verse 42, it says, Jesus called them to Him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And their great ones, notice the phrasing there, their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many." Here Jesus says, this is the kind of disposition My servants are to have. Not like those hypocritical religious pretenders who are always about their place and their recognition and always about their reputation and always trying to craft and mold people's opinions about themselves by what was said and not said and how were things crafted. No, it is to be that of the Savior's example Himself. A servant who gave His life and did not point to Himself in that service He gave. This passage is a warning against that kind of desire to be prominent and be honored in places of religion. Secondly, it is a rebuke of all hypocrisy in religion. Here we're in Mark chapter 10. Just look back a few verses to verses 13 to 16. Jesus, in this rebuke and this warning against the scribes, is speaking a word of rebuke against all hypocrisy in religion. This is how God's people are to act. He says, verse 13 of Mark chapter 10, it says, "And they were bringing children to Him that He might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, He was indignant and said to them, 'Let the children come to Me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.' And He took them in His arms and blessed them, laying His hands on them." Jesus says those who truly are His, those who live according to His desires, are those who do not live with this desire for pretense, for popularity, for recognition, carefully crafting people's opinions about them and seeking a place of great preeminence and popularity among others. No, they are those who are unpretentious, truly unpretentious. They resemble little children, and they live like little children. And it is only that disposition that has entrance into the kingdom of God. Jesus is rebuking the kind of hypocrisy in religion that really is a kind of sideways self-promotion and hypocritical pride. Thirdly, if you'll turn back to Mark chapter 11, just a page in your Bible, He is condemning in this passage using religion for gain. Using religion for gain. Notice, beginning in verse 15, this familiar passage we looked at just a few weeks ago. It says, "They came to Jerusalem, and He entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And He would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. And He was teaching them and saying, 'Is it not written, My house shall be called a house prayer for the nations, for all the nations, but you have made it a den of robbers.'" These religious people practiced religion for their own gain, to line their own pockets, to become wealthy, to receive goods and services from others. That was their desire. That was their motive. That's what they were always constantly doing and being about. Just as Jesus says in this statement in chapter 12, this pilfering of those people who were generous, extolling from them, and having this kind of extortion, although it would never be seen as such because of the dim-wittedness of the goodness of people. And yet it was the very wicked designs of these religious people. Jesus condemns using religion for gain. Indeed, the Apostle Paul spoke of this in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He talked about those who believe that godliness is a means of gain. And it is a means of gain, spiritually speaking, but not a means of gain personally by receiving goods and services from others. Finally, we note here, what is the solution to all of this? How is it that we will guard ourselves from this wicked sin that creeps into the hearts of men? Well, turn with me finally to Psalm 139. And this is where we'll conclude this morning. We guard ourselves from this kind of wickedness, this kind of hypocrisy, this kind of self-serving activity. And the remedy is found at the very end of Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. It is through having a soul-searching walk with the Lord. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. These familiar words, congregation, these should be the prayers that we offer up to the Lord on a regular basis. Amen? This should be the very thing that we long for and desire to have to be so by God and His ministry. That we would not insulate ourselves and say, we will not take mild rebukes. We don't want to hear anything that's sharp. We don't want to hear anything that might somehow expose sin. Oh, don't step on our toes. No, we want to have that. We long for that. We desire that. Because our goal is not to feel self-satisfied. Our goal is to find a well done from our Savior. And so we long for those rebukes, for those exposures, for those works of God's grace by His Word, in prayer, in His providences, that show us those things that are grievous to God and guide us in the way that is everlasting. Congregation, that is the true way for us to be on guard against the way of the scribes. That is how we can watch out for them. For it is not them, it is remaining sin that we must guard against. And these very sins are still a danger for the heart of God's people today. May we guard against them. May we be constantly watching out for them. May we seek to heed the warning that Jesus shared. Let's bow together in prayer. Gracious Father, as we consider these words of Christ, these words of warning, we readily acknowledge we will not encounter first century scribes in our day. But we also acknowledge, being honest about ourselves and our hearts, the sins of pride and hypocrisy. The very kinds of activities of these religious people are sins that we, even today, must watch out for, guard ourselves against, and be careful. Help us, Lord, that we would truly serve You with a servant attitude, an attitude that is not concerned with appearances, opinions, not concerned with pilfering from others, but concerned only with doing Your will and serving You according to Your Word. Help us, Lord, that we would have the very words of Psalm 139 as our prayer. And Lord, if there are those here today who don't know Christ as their Savior and Lord, may they turn to Christ and may they run to Him savingly, finding the cleansing power that Christ alone provides. Father, we ask that You would grant this by Your grace to the edification of Your church and to the advancement of Your kingdom. And we ask this all in Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen.